The Holy Gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Luke. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Jesus' parents brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every first male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what is customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, in the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 70 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. So those of us who are parents or godparents probably remember clearly the day we presented our children, each one of them in their own time, to be baptized. It was a day of hope and great promise, a day of generosity and love. But really, handing over your child to a person, at least in my instance, that you may not know very well, to let them pour water over that precious head, well, it just seems like a pretty crazy thing to do. Because I wasn't even comfortable with pouring water over my baby's head the first time around. It was another one of those important life's letting go moments, a moment to trust in another person. Letting go is at the heart of every generous act we offer. And today is a day of prayer, more than anything else, as we enter the temple with Joseph and Mary. And we just read this wonderful hymn, and I want to read the second verse to you again. "Though circled by the hosts of high, he deigned to cast a pitying eye upon his helpless creature. The whole creation's head and Lord, by highest seraphim adored, assumed our very nature, assumed our humanity. Jesus, grant us through thy mercy and merit to inherit thy salvation. Hear, O hear, our supplication. Very often our hymns are prayers. I actually had a seminary professor that taught me that. So here we are with Mary and Joseph. And they must have had some kind of an inkling that this day was significant in ways that they could barely imagine. It was a new beginning in which they had to let go and trust in God and others, just as the angels had come to them and announced how special this child was, like the Magi had showed up, and all who had seen and believed. What would they actually tell us about this day, this morning? Don't you ever wonder? What would Mary and Joseph say about what they experienced that day? So I have to tell you that during a transition process, we create a profile committee, and when we're in the process of doing that, it's going to be announced pretty soon, about who the work of the profile is about who we are and the priest we are seeking to create that profile that's going to go out into the world and somehow reach out to just the right priest. Now, I have to tell you that most of the profiles that I have either read myself in a search that I was looking for a church or that I have seen created as an interim always include this one sentence. We want a priest who will bring in young families. So I have to tell you that in all the priests I have met during my entire life, not one of them was a Pied Piper or Peter Pan. Just saying. And the fact is that we don't need to just attract young families. I'm not sure why that seems to be in every single one, but I think we need to attract middle-aged families. We need to attract our senior citizens. We need to attract all kinds of people. Now, I've spent my whole life working with children, so there's something magic about that to me, but so is there about, I've come to understand, I think probably because I'm getting closer to the other end of life, I just love our seniors too. So I think that I have to say that the priest that you had here before, Father Derek, had sacrificed some amazing time and energy in really wonderfully creative ways, I have to say, I'm taking notes, that did attract young families. But what I want you to wonder, as I wonder, is how many would have come if all of you had sacrificed that same kind of time and energy as an offering to our children and youth and young families. I mean, every one of you in some way presented yourselves to be part of the ministry of young families the way Simeon and Anna did this morning with Jesus and Mary. They did it with joy, with delight, with their full attention to the parents and child on this 40th day of Jesus' life. This is the final day you get to take down all your Christmas decorations. This is the end of Christmas. Do it before the game starts this afternoon. Simeon and Anna could barely imagine what Jesus' life would bring forth. They had ideas about what they thought, but they couldn't have imagined it. All the people, men and women and children who would follow Jesus, That was beyond their understanding. Is this day significant to us in ways that we can barely imagine? Who are those that are significant to us in ways that we can barely imagine? That offer themselves to us, or we offer ourselves to them. What is it that makes a Sunday morning church significant as we present ourselves to God at God's table? Who is it in our lives, not just on Sunday, but every day, that we put our trust in? So I have a poem. I want not a poem, a prayer. I kept going back to prayers all week long. This one is called Make Me Simple. And I think this is what this day is about. This is about getting down to the very simple priorities. It reads, O ingenious God, I rejoice in your creation, and I pray that your spirit touch me so deeply that I will find a sense of self, which makes me glad to be who I am, and yet restless at being anything else than I can become. Make me simple enough not to be confused by disappointments, clear enough not to mistake busyness for freedom, honest enough not to expect truth to be painless, brave enough not to sing all my songs in private. Oh, I got a story for that. Not today. Compassionate enough to get in trouble. Compassionate enough to get in trouble. Humble enough to admit trouble and seek help. Joyful enough to celebrate all of it, myself and others and you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what today is about. Simeon and Anna are two people we have to pay attention to this morning. They're prophets, no doubt, but what was it that brought them to the faithfulness of their wisdom and knowing? Clearly, Simeon knew his scripture. And so did Anna, 84 years old. See, this is not just about babies. This is about an 84-year-old. This is about generations coming together. And I want you to listen to the words of our Song of Simeon that you just heard. Because I'm so big on the Book of Common Prayer, but I like the words that we put, the translation we use. The other word, this is from Luke, the gospel we just heard, and it's also referred to as the Nunc Dimittis. So hear these words just a little differently. Lord, now you have let your servant... Nope, that's not the one. That's the right one. I want the right two. That's the one that I actually read at... funerals. But this is not a prayer for funerals. This is not meant to be about the end of life, although that was his prayer. This really is about freedom. This is about coming to an understanding. Lord, you now have set your servant free, to go in peace as you have promised, to go anywhere. When you have been set free, you are free to go in peace anywhere, to do whatever. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel. When Simeon said those words, he was holding Jesus in his arms. Imagine that. holding Jesus in his arms. Holding Jesus in your arms. Might have felt that way when you held your first child or your first grandchild or your friends. Jen just had a really good friend of hers give birth this week, and she was there. When you hold new life in your arms, imagine what that was like. What would release us to experience the freedom of this song speaks of? What would it take us letting go of to step into that place? Do we have fears or certainties or assumptions that are keeping us isolated and stuck that we need to let go of? Our God is a gathering God. God gathers us together for a purpose. On Sundays and every other day of the week, that you find yourself in a group of people with a purpose. Anna's devotion, well, that's totally complete. She is at that stage in her life where she is giving her time always to God. But clearly she just doesn't stay off by herself, because she shows up for this family. She shows up and she doesn't just go to the family, she tells everybody around her about this child. I'm going to give you an opportunity at the announcement time that you might be able to do that, just like Anna did. It sometimes feels like that kind of devotion is unattainable. But what if we just gave a little bit more than we usually do? A generous measure of hope in that which we thought might be hopeless, or said, oh, I can't do that. I don't have enough skill. I don't know enough about it. I'm too old. Yeah. Anna didn't say that. Neither did Simeon. What you need is a generous heart, and a generous heart is a beautiful thing to behold. In a few minutes, we will present our best offering to God in those silver plates. It will not be two turtle doves the way it was for Mary and Joseph, but it could be that level of sacrifice. And in a few minutes, we will present the bread and wine as our best offering from our love of all the blessings of creation, the harvest of grain and grapes, the thanksgiving for the hands and the hearts that used those grapes and wheat to make the bread and wine, and also a sacrifice of time and energy. And then in a few minutes, we will present ourselves, as it says in the Rite One liturgy, we will present ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a living sacrifice, a human sacrifice of thanksgiving for this amazing human life that was born on Christmas Day and showed up in the temple as an offering 40 days later. The same Lord that was presented by Mary and Joseph, the same Lord that all generations like Simeon and Anna give thanks and praise for, the same Lord that we follow today, right here, right now. How blessed are we by that? And we don't ever do it alone. We do it with God's help and God's love. Thanks be to God. Amen.